Well, good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see all of you today on this seventh Sunday after Pentecost. And we are so glad that you're with us today. And it's good to see some faces back. I know we had some folks that were traveling or on vacation, and some of you are back now. And I think we have a few more that are out on this long 4th of July weekend. But we are so glad to see all of you. And a little bit later on, I'm going to be asking that question: what is on your mind when you come to worship on Sundays? So as we begin today, let's stand and join together and sing our Gloria Patria.
Glory be to the Father.
Let's join together for our call to worship there in the bulletin. God's greatness is wondrous to behold. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans,
God's greatness is everywhere.
God's greatness can be seen in human hearts. Well, let's join together there this morning. We're going to sing that hymn, the Battle Hymn of the Republic, number 617. If you'd like to use the bullet or the hymn book, or you can follow along on the PowerPoint, all four verses.
Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He has loosed the faithful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah.
His truth is marching on. In the music
together there for our opening prayer. Oh God, thank you for the freedom we have to worship you. As we gather, turn our hearts and minds to you. May we lean into your strength and receive the comfort only you can give. Send your Spirit among us and open our ears to listen. In the name of Christ we pray, amen. And you may be seated this morning. I'm going to invite our kids to come down if they would make their way this morning. And so we want to let them have that chance. And while they're heading down, we're going to go to the Lord in prayer this morning. And maybe you have a joy or concern that you would like to share this morning. We are going to let you do that. So somebody this morning. Yes.
Please remember that family of Patton.
Okay, so we want to remember the Morgan family with the loss of that loved one there. Yes. Somebody else. Oh, that's unusual.
I have one.
Go ahead.
We need safe travels for Matthew and his soldiers. They're headed to Fort Irwin, California this week to prepare for their deployment.
Okay, so she's asking prayers for Matthew and his company as they are heading to, you say California?
California.
Yeah, to California in preparations to go overseas. And so we want to remember them. And I know Matthew's name is on our monthly calendar. We'll be remembering him. And also I put my niece's husband, Luke, back on the monthly calendar because their group is in, we think, the Middle East, but we're not sure exactly where they are, the SEALs. And want to remember them too. And their company also that's over there. So, somebody else this morning. Yes.
The Pat Morgan family. Pat Morgan.
Yep, we got that one. That's already been mentioned. Yep. The daughter, is it the daughter's name?
The daughter is
Miranda. Miranda, okay.
And Bill has to stay down because of his body, so he said that's probably going to be a lifetime thing for him.
Yeah. Okay, so we want to remember the little baby and Miranda, the mom. If some of you were here last week, we talked about how she's had some signs of preeclampsia. So we definitely want to keep her in prayer because if you know anything about that, that can be quite dangerous at times. And that's why they're monitoring close. And then when she delivers there on the 19th, we definitely want to remember that one, them in prayer for sure. So yes. Okay. Unspoken this morning. Somebody else this morning. Yeah.
We have Joy. Finally, after living in rented rooms for 2 months, Matthew and the girls and Julie get to move into their house starting tomorrow.
Oh, that's wonderful. Glad to hear that they found a place to stay at. Yes. Good, good. And I think, yeah. Unspoken. Okay. Somebody else. Somebody else this morning. All right, I'm asking for prayers. She had said something to me earlier for Mary Lou. She had a scan back a little while ago, and they are going to be doing this coming Friday a heart cath on her to explore, to see there were some things that showed up on the scan, and so they're going to do the heart cath to find out if what may be going on, if she needs a stent or not. And so you want to remember her for this Friday and lift her up in prayer. And we appreciate that. Anybody else then? Anybody else? All right. So you can see remember the various ones this morning that were mentioned. And hopefully as some of those names come to your mind, you'll lift them up as Carla plays there quietly. And I will then come and close us out in prayer. Lord, as we pause this morning, we are grateful for the freedoms that we have as a nation, and the blessings that you provided for our nation. And Lord, we're so grateful and thankful that most of all, that we have the freedom to come and worship and gather as your people throughout our nation. And we're grateful and thankful for that. Some places around the world, they don't have that freedom. And so we are thankful today for all the blessings on our nation and our country, God. And we're grateful to you. Lord, we especially think about those that have been mentioned today. Lord, we want to lift up Matthew and his company and Luke and his company also that are Matthew's group that's getting ready to go overseas and preparing now, and Luke's company that's already overseas in operation. Lord, and others, that you will just watch over them and keep them safe and guide them, we pray. And we're thankful for all of that. Lord, we lift up a little baby and Miranda, the mom, that's coming soon. And we pray that you will just keep your hand upon mom and baby and keep them safe until the baby is taken on the 19th. And we just ask that you would guide and direct all of that and extend your grace and mercy there. Lord, we continue to lift up Bill, asking for your healing touch for him and strength. Lord, we lift up Mary Lou, who's going in for this heart cath on Friday, God. We just pray that you'll just guide everything that goes on. And if they need to put a stent in, that they'll be able to do that. And it'll be accomplished in the right way. And that it'll give her relief and healing. And so we're thankful for that and ask that you would guide and be with her during that time. Lord, we lift up the Morgan family with the loss of this loved one, that you would just grant them your comfort and your peace today and be with them. And Lord, we lift up these unspoken needs that were mentioned, Lord, and maybe others today that have unspoken needs that couldn't mention them. We just ask that you would minister to those needs as only you can do, and that you would guide and direct. And we're thankful for that. And we give you thanks. And Lord, we continue to lift up those on our monthly list, God, for those that are going through treatments, those that are facing serious illness. Lord, we just pray for your healing touch. We pray for healing grace. We pray for strength, Lord. We pray for faith and courage in the midst of everything that they're going through, and the various others that are listed on there for other situations. And Lord, we're thankful for that today and give you thanks. And Lord, we do give you thanks for all that you do. We're thankful that where two or three are gathered in your name, that you are here with us. And so we ask your blessing upon the rest of this service. As we break the bread of your word, may you encourage us and speak to us and strengthen us and fill us with faith as we go forth. And Lord, also as we today celebrate at the table, Lord, that your presence, Jesus, would just be real to us as we share in the bread and the cup, and that those that need a touch today, those that need grace, those that need healing, those that need peace today, that you would extend your presence into their lives as we partake. And we thank you for that today as we ask all of these things in the name of Jesus, our Savior, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Incline thine ear to us and grant us thy peace. Amen. Thank you for being with us and joining with us for prayer this morning. And I know that's a blessing to especially those on the receiving end. Well, we have the opportunity to worship the Lord with our giving. And so we're going to say thank you to each of you for your faithfulness in giving as you are able. And so as our ushers come this morning, God bless you as you give today. Join together there for our prayer of dedication in the bulletin. Creator of all things, we give back to you a portion of your blessings. Take and use our gifts that they may serve your reign of love. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. Our scripture reading this morning is coming from Psalm 48 this morning. Psalm 48, which is our lectionary psalm, and we're going to be reading some various verses throughout the entire psalm, and so you can follow along there on the PowerPoint. How great is the Lord! How worthy of praise in the city of the Lord, on God's holy mountain, beautiful and lofty, the joy of all the earth, Mount Zion, the heart of the earth, is the city of the great King. Oh God, we meditate on your love within your temple. As your name reaches the ends of the earth, O God, so does your praise. Justice fills your right hand. Mount Zion rejoices, and the daughters of Judah celebrate because of your judgments. This God is our God forever and ever, and God will guide us even to our last day. That is God's word for us this morning, and I pray that God would add his blessing to the reading of the word, and that the Spirit would give us ears to hear what God wants to say to us this morning. Well, a teenager was about 2 hours from San Diego when all of a sudden they got flagged down by a man whose truck had broken down. The man walked up to the car and said, "Are you going to San Diego?" "Sure," said the teenager. "Do you need a lift?" "Oh no, not for me. I got to spend the next few hours here fixing my truck. My problem is I have two chimpanzees in the back of my truck that need to be taken to the San Diego Zoo. They're a bit stressed already, so I don't want to keep them on the road all day. Could you possibly take them to the zoo for me? I'll give you $100 for your trouble." The teenager said, "Well, man, I'd be happy to do that for you." So the two chimpanzees were ushered into the back seat of the car and carefully strapped into seat belts, and off they went. 5 hours later, the truck driver was driving through the heart of San Diego when suddenly he was horrified. There he saw the teenager walking down the street holding hands with two chimps, much to the amazement of a big crowd that was kind of following along with him. With a screech of the brakes, he pulled over and ran over to them. "What the heck are you doing?" he demanded. "I gave you $100 to take these chimpanzees to the zoo." "Yes, I know, we did. But we had money left over, so we were going to SeaWorld now." Does that sound like something your teenager would do? I don't know. I want to talk to you this morning about getting the most out of worship. You know, when I first started looking at this passage this week, it just kind of struck me, especially the part about where the psalmist says, when we come into your temple, we meditate on your love. That's the part that really struck me this week. And it wasn't till I was almost done with everything that I settled on the title, Getting the Most Out of Worship. I've known a lot of people over my close to 30 years that I've been pastoring who have quit going to church. And here's some of what they've said. There's other reasons, but one of the things that they've often said is, "I don't get anything out of it anymore." And as I was thinking about that, I know there's various reasons for that. But one of the things that kind of really struck me, and I know this is true in my own life, when I've been a part of worship and church services, when I'm not preaching or leading or whatever it is what is on my mind? Or what have I faced in the past week or past few days when I come to church? And so that's why I asked that question earlier. What is on your mind when you come for worship on Sundays? Because that really sets the mood for what we're going to get out of the church service. Is your mind occupied by a list of things to do? Are you thinking about lunch after church? Did something happen this past week that is weighing on your mind heavily? Are you worrying about your kids or grandkids? Are you annoyed with your spouse because you were running late for church this morning? Or on your way to church, were the kids not cooperating? Oh my gosh, I remember that at times. Or maybe the grandkids for some of you. Is some burden weighing you down as you walked in the doors? We all arrive with things on our mind, don't we? It's just life. And our psalm reading today reminds us of why people gather in sacred places. Because sacred places offer much needed space for quiet meditation and reflection, besides other things, which I'm going to talk about. And in Psalm 48, we are told that when God's people gathered together in the temple, they focused on some things when they gathered. And the psalmist tells us that it brought joy into their lives because of it. So I want to look at two. Now, there could be a couple more in there that I could have talked about, but if that would have been true, you'd be listening to me for 40 minutes, and I don't want to go there. But I want to talk about two. And the first is God's reputation, or God's name, the psalmist talks about. Now, when we're talking about God's reputation, God's name, the kind of things that God does, we're talking about celebrating some things. So that's the two focuses I want you to see here. First of all, celebrating God's presence with us. That is the thing that gets emphasized over and over throughout Psalm 48, is that Mount Zion or Jerusalem was such a wonderful place to be and in the temple because God's presence was there. In fact, the psalmist says, even the daughters of Judah celebrate because of that. And when we gather to worship and sing, we are celebrating God's presence. Now, let me tell you something that I didn't read, but if you happen to be looking at your Bible when we read Psalm 48, you might have noticed that right at the very beginning of the psalm, it says, a psalm of the Korahites. Now, who were they? Well, Psalm 48 is a Korahite psalm. The Korahites were a group of priestly singers that you can read about in 1 and 2 Chronicles, who led the Israelites in worship in the temple. Some of them sang, and some of them played musical instruments. And their job was to lead the people in singing and worship so that God's presence would fill the temple when they gathered for worship. And so they knew the importance of God's presence when we gather together. And the singers describe God's presence on Mount Zion in a couple different ways. One way is almost romantic ways. It's lofty, it's beautiful. When you go to the Mount Zion, to Jerusalem, and you're in the temple, and God's presence is there, it's a lofty, beautiful thing to experience. But then they also talk about it in a blissful way. It becomes the joy of the whole earth. Now, the focus, although some people I was reading talked about Jerusalem itself, but I think the reason why they talked about Jerusalem is because God's presence was there. And when God's presence is with us, that is a beautiful, joyful thing when we gather. It reminds us that God's presence is glorious and special and joy-filled. I know I've talked to so many different ones that have said this through the years that I've been pastoring. As they left, thank you for that shot in the arm, Pastor. We just needed that. That's not me. That's not Carla playing. That's not others. That is God's presence that here, that gives us that shot in the arm as we go out of here. And it's why we sing and pray and gather together weekly as God's people, celebrating God's presence. Another part of that is celebrating God's name, which I had mentioned there earlier. When we gather and sing, we are celebrating and singing of God's awesome reputation and fame. And guess what? The person sat next to you, when they hear you sing, "How great thou art, how great thou art." I had a friend when I was a teenager, one of my friend's dad, he couldn't carry a tune in a bucket, but you could always hear him if you were standing close by him, because he would sing with everything he could. It had nothing to do with if he was a good singer or not. It had to do with he wanted to thank God because God was such a blessing in his life. And part of praising God is why we're all gathered here. Listen to this. The prophet John, in the book of Revelation chapter 7, says the angel talked to him about a number, 144,000. And then it says John turned, and from this, what he says next, we know that that 144,000 is a symbolic number that speaks of God's people through time and eternity. And it says John saw a vast multitude of people from every nation and language singing of what God and Jesus, or the one on the throne and the Lamb, have done for them. The Lamb of God, Jesus, who takes away the sins of the world. And it reminds us of why we sing and gather and pray as God's people. It all has to do with God's reputation. Focusing on that, thinking about that. Second thing, then, is God's unfailing love. God's unfailing love. And I want us to think about this in two ways. First of all, is pondering God's love. That's what the psalmist says there. Meditating, some versions say. The Hebrew word there conveys this idea of thinking about it, imagining it. For a minute, imagine one day you're going to be standing with millions and millions and millions and singing God's praise. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever spent some quiet time thinking about God's love? What better place to ponder God's love than in God's presence with God's people? The elder John in 1 John tells us God is love. So when you're pondering love, you're pondering God. And with God, there is love, acceptance, approval, and affirmation. Think about God's love. Second part of that I want you to see is abiding in God's love. These are the words of Jesus. Here's what he says in John: "Abide in my love." Now catch these words: "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you." Think about what Jesus said. How much does the Heavenly Father love the Son, Jesus? Infinitely. Here's Jesus' response: "That's how much I love you." Think about that this morning. You can't outlove God. You can't outlove God. I don't know what you're facing or what was on your mind when you walked in here today, but I do know this. When we celebrate God's presence and reputation, it can become joy in our lives and in our community of faith. When we focus on God's love, it becomes a strong motivating force in our lives. Or let me say it this way: by focusing on God, which one of the kids got right on, I think we will get the most out of worship. Don't miss the reason we're here. This is God, is our God forever and ever, as the psalmist said. Amen. Amen. Well, we are going to prepare our hearts this morning for communion to share. And during that time, we're going to get to experience in kind of a tangible way the presence and love of Jesus. And so we're all welcome to share and be a part of that this morning, whether you come here regularly or not. And always, as always, we prepare our hearts by joining together in our confession and thanksgiving. And so I'm going to invite all of you, if you would join with me there, if you would like to, in our prayer this morning. So let's do that. We acknowledge your glory, O God, and we gratefully remember your wondrous deeds. But when the world grows dark and threatening, we lose faith and we despair. When our hopes are delayed, we grow disappointed and disillusioned. When we seem distant and silent, we become faithless and take matters in our own hands. Drive from our hearts the darkness and the cynicism. Fill our minds with memories of your faithful deeds. And fill our lives with reflections of your love. For Jesus' sake, amen. Amen. I pray that the Lord will do that in our lives today, and that we will receive what we need from him as we share. I'm going to invite our deacons and deaconesses that are going to be helping us out this morning to serve us, if they would make their way as we prepare to receive at the table this morning. On the night when Jesus was handed over, he took the bread, he gave thanks, and he broke it, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do it in remembrance of me." Let's partake this morning. Later he took the cup and he gave thanks and gave it to his disciples and said, drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Let's partake. The Apostle Paul said, as often as we eat of the bread and drink of the cup, we are proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes. Well, let's take a few moments and greet one another and share the blessing, and then we'll close out with our little chorus there, He Touched Me. Like to use the hymn book this morning, He Touched Me. Shackled by a heavy burden, need the load of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me. Let's join together for our benediction. God has truly blessed us. Go and be a blessing. May the peace of Christ and the blessing of the Lord flow through us this week. Amen.